in our series, A Flood of God's Grace. It's Haley again, and this is the fourth lesson with Kelly Copeland Swisher. Do you know how to let God take care of you? That's what this lesson is all about. We know when we acknowledge God and see Him as our source, He will take care of us in every area of our lives. There are study documents prepared for you, and you can download them right below this video. As you watch the teaching, feel free to pause or rewind at any time to grab every important point. We're ready to begin, so let's join Kelly Copeland Swisher now.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm very happy this week to be with you, and also next week. We've delved into some things to help our families and to help our relationships. God's Word is not complicated. It's not hard. It's, the Word says, easily entreated. But you have to hear it, do it, if you want the results. And I think we've been talking a lot about strife, about family situations. Satan is attacking the family unit. And, of course, these things are true with relationships, with friends, co-workers, and all of that. But there is just something about that family. You know, your family matters. It matters. At all costs, love your family. Even if they don't, and especially if they don't know Jesus, love them. Don't cut them off. Don't be mad at them. Don't judge them. Don't set yourself up as their God and judge. Just set yourself in the place to represent God to them, to love them like God loves them, to love them with the love of God, the love of Jesus that's on the inside of you. Our families can change. Families can come together no matter what your situation is, whether it's between husband and wife, children, mothers, fathers, brother, sister. God can fix it. You know, of course, I'll just mention that you know that this weekend is Mother's Day. Please, please, please love your precious mother. If there's distance between you, don't let there be love on her. If there's strife between you, love on her. Even if things feel like they're perfect, give her a call and love on her this week. Don't just wait till Sunday to do it, but give her a call today. If you're watching this and you are a kid or a teenager and you're still at home, love on your mom today. Go do some dishes or something, you know? Show her the love of God. Show her that you appreciate all that she does. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have a great mom, or my mom's in heaven. Well, you know, I love the way the Lord puts women in our lives, especially other women. God puts these women in our lives that we can learn from and look to. And if you don't have anybody else, you can write to my dear mother. You can write her here, email, or email the ministry to let her know how much you love her. She is a great mom to all of us. She's been a wonderful, wonderful example to any of us of how to walk in the Word, how to study the Word. You know, the thing that I admire the most about my mother is she is a Word woman. She loves the Word of God. She doesn't read it every day because she has to. She's not operating under the law of, well, if you're a Christian, you have to read your Bible. No, she loves hearing from God. She loves reading His Word. If she could go on vacation and take a month off and do nothing, that's what she would do. I've watched her over the years. And then what happens? She lives it out. Even when somebody tries to push her buttons, you know, just the love and the grace of God comes out. So you can take a page out of her book and be that kind of a mother and be that kind of believer. And then you'll be like her too, and you'll change people's lives that you come in contact with. But I just do want to encourage you to not let, ever, ever let strife come in between any family member. We are against Satan. We are working against him today to tear down strongholds, to let the Lord fix things in our lives and in our relationships. And you know, it's not really hard to fix things like that. And I just want to point out that sometimes, and everybody goes through times like this, but sometimes it's tempting to think, my life is such a mess, or this situation or this relationship is such a mess, I don't think it can ever change. Well, I want to tell you and encourage you to stay steady on the Word of God. Even stay with a relationship until you know from the Lord that nothing can be done. Because, you know, people, the Lord knows where people are at. But you don't just be a giver-upper. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Stand on the Word. Let the Lord fix your life and your situation and your relationships. And I promise you, if you give Him, if you do these things that I lay out today, you know, you may find that that relationship doesn't end up lasting, like maybe in a marriage or something. But even so, if you do these things, you will be set on a high place, and the Lord will be able to move you from grace to grace to grace, and you'll look back and you'll think, my goodness, my life is just not the same. Of course, we're believing for every relationship to be fully restored, every person to be fully restored, and the Lord can do mighty things on anybody that will let Him. So we talked already this week about the importance of acknowledging God, and that is, we do that in several ways. One, acknowledge Him as your source. You don't lean on yourself. You're not leaning on somebody else. You're not leaning on anything or any government. You're leaning on God as your source. So that's very important. We talked about God has a good plan for you. So you have to acknowledge that plan and receive that plan by faith, and then be like a bulldog, where I am not letting go of the plan of God. And if you hold fast to it, God will bring His plan for your life to pass. He has a great plan. Now, I can't go preach all that over again, but you can go to kcm.org and listen to the broadcast that we've done the last couple of days and catch up with us. So yesterday, we talked about, how did Jesus, you know, the Word tells us in Hebrews 3 to consider Jesus. Paul said in Hebrews 12, how do we run our race with endurance? He said, by keeping your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, or you could say He's the instigator and the developer of our faith. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. So yesterday we opened up with the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is everybody, whether they're a Christian or not, usually know the Lord's Prayer. But there are some powerful truths in that prayer that we're going to pull out today for ourselves. And really, since I've been studying these things, I've really begun praying the Lord's Prayer over myself and my life in such a powerful way, and you can do the same thing. So I want to read, I've been reading out of the New Living Translation, but for this I want to read out of the King James and maybe some of the Amplified. Let's just read it and then we'll take it apart. Let's see. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And of course, Jesus goes on to tell him to explain some things about forgiveness, which we will talk about those things too. But you have to realize when you connect this prayer, you know, you don't just take something Jesus prayed and think, well, Jesus was writing a Hallmark card or something for us to always remember, or doing something so we'd have something to put on a plaque. These are things that he was saying. This was how he lived his life. And if you think about what he had to do, go pay the price for humanity, for their sin, for their sickness. He had to take every sickness, every disease in his body, pay the price for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. That's a heavy, heavy burden. And that was, he was called to come here and to do that. But also you have to remember that he had to be separated from his Father. Now that, I think, was probably the hardest part of what he had to do, separating from his Father. And the separation of his spirit from his Father's spirit. When he was here on earth, he did not function as the Son of God. He functioned as the Son of Man. He functioned under the old covenant. He functioned in his ministry, doing miracles based on the Word of God, based on the old covenant. But he had to give his life, be separated from God. And I know that day to day, do you remember what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. Because he knew what he had to do. And he was like, Father, is there another way? But what did he say next? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. What you want, Warren. What you want, Father. Not what I want, but what you want. Now, that's not an attitude you just develop on the spur of the moment as you're about to have to give your life. This is an attitude. And this is what I want to help you see today. This attitude of not my will, but your will, this is an attitude that he developed. It had to be daily because so many times in the scriptures, you read him to say, I say only what I hear my Father say. I do what my Father says to do or what I see my Father do. I don't consult my own will. We see this in the scripture over and over again. Let me read, I think one of the places that it says it is in John 5:30, and I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. He says, this was Jesus, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord. I really think if Jesus can't do anything by himself, then you and I should just give it up and say, okay, we can't do anything by ourselves. He says, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Jesus was following orders all the time. When he walked in love, it's because he was ordered to walk in love. He's always following orders. Even as I hear, he says, I judge. What does that mean? The Amplified says, I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just and righteous, because I do not, this is where Jesus had his success. I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, or my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Now that right there is the open door to things changing in your life. This is the open door to relationships changing. What if every response you gave to someone came from what Jesus said to do, or came from what the Father said to do? What if every response that you gave when somebody tries to push your buttons or a situation flares up in your face, what if every response came not because of what you wanted, not out of what you desired, not out of what your will was, but out of what God's will was? Now, that doesn't mean you're a doormat. That actually, you're putting yourself in the hands of God for Him to be your power, for Him to be your strength. There's no doormat there. It's meekness, yes, but not weakness. Meekness is putting God and His plans and His will first, and that's what Jesus did. And so in this prayer that he prayed, I think John 5:30 is just a great example of him. He must have said it all the time. But that daily reciting of that daily reaffirming of that is what made him be able to do it when it really mattered in the garden, when he was pressed. When he was pressed to the point, the Bible says that he sweat blood over that. Jesus didn't give his life on the cross. Jesus gave his life in that garden. That's where the final giving was done. And actually, you have to back it up and say Jesus gave his life every day. Every day he was given his life, committing his life, so that when it really counted, his life was already given. His life was already given to his Father to do what needed to be done. We read yesterday from Romans 12, make your life, our body, a living daily sacrifice. That means the same thing. Give yourself to the Lord every day to do and say and be that day all that he says to do and say and be. Now remember, we're talking about how to get things back on track, how to get out of a bad situation, how to open the door to the power of God to fix things. Well, you can't control everybody else. But boy, you can sure get the power in your situation by you setting yourself in a place where God can move. Because he's always there. He's always wanting to give you grace and to fix things, but we have to give him room to do it. So let's look at this Lord's Prayer and see what Jesus was praying and think, okay, this was daily for him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is the most powerful statement. Thy kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is how he does things, how he wants our lives to be. You could say, when he talks about your kingdom come, your will be done, he's talking about God's plan. God has a plan. We talked about it the last couple of days. God has a plan. You're saying, Lord, if you pray this, your kingdom come into my life. Your way of doing things come into my life. Your will, as you have decreed it in heaven, remember Psalm 139, he wrote your days before you ever lived one, Ephesians 2:10, he has a plan for you to live out, walk out. He has a plan for you. He has a will for you. What are you saying to him in this prayer? Jesus was saying, and we can say it too, your kingdom come here, your way of doing things. The blessing be here in my life. Blessing and the plan don't do any good as long as they stay in heaven, but we can get ourselves to where we are heavenly minded. The Bible tells us, get your mind and your sights on things of heaven. Get your sights on what God's will is for you in heaven. Your will be done on earth as you have decreed it to be in heaven. I pray this. I say, Lord, Father, your will today be done in my life right here. Tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Be done in my life as you have decreed it to be in heaven. Your plan for me will stand. Your plan for me will stand. That good plan and paths that are good and the things that you have laid out for me to accomplish and to do, that be done here on earth as you have decreed it to be in heaven. I receive it. I pull it down from heaven, so to speak. That's what Jesus, it's his way of saying again, not my will, but your will. And of course, for us, Jesus has paid that hard price. We don't need to be doing that. You might be thinking, well, I don't want to have to go down the cross. Well, you don't have to, because Jesus did that. He left us with just the good part of being able to say, Lord, in heaven you have declared my family to be whole. In heaven you have declared my life to be good and well-pleasing to you. And boy, there are so many scriptures in the Word of God that talk about a pleasant and blessed life. Go look at Psalms. It's wonderful. My mom has preached and taught so many things on this subject. God has a good life for you planned out. Find it in the Word. And then you can say for sure, God, this is what you say about me in heaven. Your will be done for me here as you have decreed it to be in heaven. Isn't that powerful? It's so strong for us to follow Jesus' example here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our sustenance today. Give us what we need. Jesus told his disciples, I am the bread of life. You know what Jesus said too when he was in the wilderness and Satan began to tempt him with food and he had been fasting. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know that we have to be that way. We don't live by our feelings. Our feelings do not get to tell us how we feel, so to speak. My flesh, this is what you need to say to yourself. My flesh does not get to tell me how I feel. My feelings do not get to be hurt. Why? Because I am told how to feel by the Word of God. I'm told how to be by reading in this Word. I'm told to walk in love. That's what I'm going to do. I live my life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you just have to be that determined. But now one thing about it, when you get that determined and you make these decisions that I'm talking about, you're not going to be by yourself. You're not going to be alone in them. What the Word says, you draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. You make these kind of decisions based on God's Word, you're going to have all of the Holy Spirit and angelic help to help you walk these out. But you just follow Jesus' example. Keeping our eyes on Him. You know, Romans 8, I love. When you're called according to His purpose and you love Him, the Amplified says, Him being a partner in your own labor. You're not by yourself in this. He makes things work for your good. God is always trying to work things out for that good plan in your life. But we have got to come to the place that Jesus did, where we are like, you know what? I don't consult my own will. It's not my will here that's important. It's what you say, Lord, that's important. It's not how I feel that's important. It's what you've promised me that's important. Give us our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to forgive. We're going to take off from right there tomorrow on forgiveness. Letting things go, putting things behind us, the past behind us, let people's past go and give them new mercy, just the way God has given you new mercy every day.
You've just finished lesson 4 in the series, A Flood of God's Grace. I'm so glad God wants to take care of you and me. Now, lesson 5 is the last one for this series, and it's about how grace uses kingdom principles. We can't wait for you to get started. Don't forget, the study documents are right under this video, so feel free to download them. Okay, next time we'll finish this series. Remember, Jesus is Lord.